Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you gathered with us today. Of course, it's our Christmas family service, and you're specially welcome today. I trust that as we meet together, we'll know God's blessing. A sincere word of thanks to everyone taking part today. Different readers, different people singing, and again, a big, big word of thanks to Margaret for help in putting all of that together. So thank you, one and all, for your service today. Remind you, the evening service is in Brookside. We'll be there at carol service, the usual time of 6:15. And then Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock, will be our Christmas morning service. It's a short and formal service, so if you maybe have time to come out, then we would encourage you to do that. And if any of the children are coming, then do bring a toy. The minister likes to see the new toys on Christmas morning, so we'll look forward to that on Christmas morning. A few other announcements then. Hopefully you've received a little announcement sheet. That's the same announcement sheet running through to the 5th of January. But just a few wee things. I made a little mistake. There's no revival prayer meeting on the 3rd of January. Instead, we're having a week of prayer starting the 6th of January. And all of those details are on the announcement sheet. Then just a little update on the communicant classes. God willing, we'll start those on the 12th of January. Sunday afternoons from 3 until 4. Three people have already signed up. If there's anyone else, then maybe you'd let me know this morning. And out in the main hall, you'll find, if you haven't already picked them up, you'll find your free will offering envelopes and calendar for 2020 and other information. It's all bundled up there. It's all in alphabetical order. There'll be a few men out there to help you at the end of the service. Could we ask that you only collect your own unless you tell someone else? If you're collecting it for someone else, let somebody else know so that we know that someone has taken that. You'll also see on the announcement sheets a wee note for the organization's treasurer's report, just to remind folk who are in charge of that those need to be back. And again, the annual reports also need to be back. Those need to be in by the 12th of January. Those are all the necessary announcements made, as always, and the will of God for the incoming days. We're here to worship God, and we're going to sing our opening carol, "Unto Us a Baby Boy Is Born." Let's stand together as we praise our wonderful God.
Every nation, the Lord of every nation.
Well, let's quieten our hearts before God as we come to Him in prayer. Let's all pray. Father, we want to thank you. We can still our hearts before you this morning. We thank you for the words that we've been singing. Remind us that unto us a boy is born. We thank you that the Lord Jesus came into this world. And we thank you for the purpose that he came to be the Savior of the world. And we thank you that we can bring our worship to you today. We thank you, Father, for each person who has gathered in this morning. And we thank you for friends. We thank you for visitors among us. We pray that each one would know your blessing upon their lives and know the welcome from our congregation, and indeed, more importantly, know afresh you drawing close and drawing near. And so our prayer today, Lord, would be that you will be with us. We pray for those who will read the scriptures, for those who will be singing. We pray, O Father, that through all of the combined effort that you may be coming, that you may be speaking into hearts and lives this day. We thank you and praise you that, Lord, that you continue to work into hearts and lives. We thank you and praise you for all that you mean to us. We thank you and praise you that even as this year would be drawing to a close, we can look back and see that you have been a faithful God. And so this morning we look to you as ever. This morning we pray that you will come and be with those, Lord, who need your help in a very special way. May they know that you're among us. May they be able to lean upon you and know you in a very wonderful, special way, even this morning. So, Lord, we do commit this service to you. We pray all of these things in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, our first scripture reading this morning is going to be read by Marguerite Spears. Marguerite's going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through to 38. Thank you, Marguerite.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you, Marguerite. Well, this morning we have a blend of readings and singings. And just now the GB Choir is going to bring a piece entitled "Glorious Light." So thank you, girls. And many thanks to the GB Choir for that lovely piece. We're going to continue with our readings. Richard Logan's going to come and bring our second reading this morning from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Thank you, Richard.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you, Richard. The choir, they're going to bring a piece this time, and their piece is entitled, Can This Be the Child? Thank you, choir.
Be the child.
Thank you, choir. Another lovely piece reminding us. We've been thinking about that in the run-up to Christmas, how the prophets were foretelling the birth of Jesus. And can this be the child? And we thank God that Jesus came to be our Savior. We're all going to unite this time as we worship God, singing that lovely Christmas carol, Silent Night. Let's stand together as we worship God. Pamela's going to come and bring our next Bible reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Thank you, Pamela.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Amen.
Thank you, Pamela. We're going to come on to the GB choir again. This time they're going to sing a piece entitled Angel Song. Thank you, choir. Brilliant. Really enjoy that song. So thank you again to the GB Choir for that lovely piece today. Our fourth and final scripture reading is going to be read by Richard Wright. Richard's going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through to 20. Thank you, Richard.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Richard, for reading those scriptures for us. Now, boys and girls, some of you have been sitting patiently. This is your big moment. Sunday school children are going to come up and sing "Christ, the King of Christmas." So if you're involved with that, come on up to the front and you sing your very, very best for us this morning. But well done to the boys and girls and the teachers and everybody who helped out with that this morning. Thank you so much. And we trust and pray that we'll realize that Christ ought to be the King of Christmas, and that it, we come round to Christmas Day, that he will be the center of all of our thinking. So thank you to children and young people for that. We worship God as we continue to bring to him our tithe and offering for the Lord's work. We're going to read on the choir as they lead us in "Who Is He in Yonder Stall?" Your offering for God's work will now be received. Well, thanks to the choir very much, and I want to say thank you to the choir for all their help throughout this year and for their ministry to us week by week. Let's pray together as we give thanks to God. Father, we do want to say thank you for the ministry of our choir. We thank you for Margaret, and we thank you for all that you've enabled the choir to do throughout this year, and particularly over this busy Christmas season. We thank you for them. We pray that you'll bless them. We pray that, Lord, they will continue to know the goodness and blessing of God even upon their ministry and song. Lord, as this year we draw to a close, we want to especially remember those families, Lord, who have gone through a difficult year. We pray that you would be close to them. We pray that they would know your special grace at this Christmas season. May they know that others are thinking about them, that others are praying for them. And we pray, Lord, that around about, may they know your loving arms. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, even for the most difficult and trying experience of life journey. And so we pray for dear friends this morning whose hearts are heavy, hearts are crushed. Lord, we pray that you will continue to be close to them. And may they know, Lord, just the loving arms of the Lord wrapped around them at this time. We're mindful as well, Lord, of those who are in hospital. And we think of three of our folk who are in hospital at this time. Probably will be there over Christmas. We pray, Lord, that again that you'll be with each of those three men at this time, that you will again present yourself with them. And we pray for their families, that you will be with them and help them and sustain them. And likewise, may they know that we are thinking about them and praying for them and lifting them before your very throne this morning. Father, we thank you for each person in this meeting house today. We thank you, Lord, for being with them throughout the past year. And we pray, Lord, that ere we would move into a new year, that each one would have their faith, their hope, their trust set in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, we realize that we can have lots that this world has to offer. But if we haven't got Jesus, then we're totally missing out on the best and most wondrous gift that was ever given. And so our prayer would be that you would come, that you would speak mightily in the hearts and lives, and that there would be those who are still without you, that even this morning might yield their all to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray, dear God, that you'll continue to work in these days, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, let me say a word of thanks to everyone who's taken part this morning, for all who have been reading, for all who have been singing. We really appreciate all the effort this morning. We're going to sing another carol before I bring a short message for everyone today. While humble shepherds watch their flocks. Some of these words always change a little bit, so you have to keep your eye on them. While humble shepherds watch their flocks. Let's stand together as we praise God.
Fill the place with
Well, the boys and girls are staying in this morning, so we'll not be speaking too long, but thank you for being here, and we hope that you'll appreciate all that's been sung, all that's been said, and say we trust you'll grasp even what I'm saying this morning. So long ago and away, far in a place in Nazareth, there was a lady, and we'll see her picture coming up here on the screen. She wasn't rich, she wasn't famous, but something amazing happened. Someone came into your home, and as he came into your home, he shouted out, "Greetings." Have we got the picture there, Johnny? No, it's not coming. We shouted, "Greetings." And as this was brought to this lady, well, it wasn't her neighbor. It wasn't Joseph, the man who she was engaged to be married to, but it was an angel. An angel had come into her house, and this young lady was afraid. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, I think I would be afraid. I think any of us would be afraid if suddenly an angel was to appear in our homes. And we weren't expecting that. We weren't sure what was happening. And this angel came and spoke. And as the angel spoke, he said, "Don't be afraid. God has chosen you. You're going to have a baby, and you should give him the name Jesus because he is the Son of God." So often we hear announcements, even as we come into church, we hear announcements week by week, and perhaps sometimes I wonder, did anybody listen to the announcements? But that's another story. Announcements are made, announcements are given, but the wonderful thing is this announcement was made, then Mary, well, she definitely had her ears pinned back. She was listening intently. But of course, the Bible tells us as this word was shared with Mary, she was frightened, she was confused. And she was thinking, well, how could this be? How could this be that I'm going to have a baby? I'm not married, I haven't been with a man. How could this be that this lady was going to be a mother? But mother, she was going to be, and of course this baby was going to be like no other baby, because this was God's one and only Son. The baby would be different from any other person ever born, because this was the Son of God. And as this announcement was made to Mary, as it was shared in that little humble home, Well, Mary could have so easily said, this is too much for me. I couldn't do that. I couldn't become the mother of God's only Son. But we read in the scriptures that she was willing to do that. She was willing to do what God would have her to do. But we can only but imagine, again, the questions filling this young girl's mind. Girl, some of the age of some of the girls here today, filling their mind, what will others think that I'm going to have a baby? And sure, uppermost in her mind was, what is Joseph going to think? What is Joseph going to say that I'm having a baby and he knows that it's not his baby? All of these questions would have been, I'm sure, flooding her mind. But nevertheless, she was willing to do what God wanted her to do. And isn't that a great challenge for us this Christmas time, irrespective of our age, that we would be willing to do whatever God would have us to do, that we'd be willing to say, Lord, whatever you want of my life, I'm willing to give it for you. That was Mary's response to God that first Christmas time. As the angel spoke to her, then she was willing. I think I've got something on the screen. Have we got the next page? There you are. There's the angel. We've got there in the end. The good news was that Joseph was willing to marry Mary. That Joseph was willing to care for this baby. Of course, the time was going to pass as the baby was growing, and the time was coming for the baby to be born. But then one day, Joseph came with the message. And he said to her, Mary, Mary, we must leave. We must leave our home. We must go to Bethlehem. And Mary, well, I'm sure her heart must have sunk into her boots. We'll have to leave. We'll have to go now. Look, the baby's going to be born soon. Do we really have to go now? And he said, yes. And we were thinking about this in our readings earlier. We have to travel to Bethlehem. We have to be registered. We have to put her name in the book. And oh, what a long journey that would have been. A long journey for anyone to have made, but for a lady towards the end of her pregnancy, it would have been a long, enduring journey to make. Mary would have been very tired. And eventually, after that long, difficult journey, they arrived in the little town of Bethlehem. But of course, they weren't the only people who had arrived. This little town of Bethlehem was packed out with people, all coming for the same reason, all coming to be registered. And of course, that led to the problem of having nowhere to stay. And we could imagine this young couple going round trying to find somewhere to stay, knocking on doors. Could we have a room for the night? Sorry, no room here. Could we have a room for the night? Sorry, no room here. Could we have a room for the night? Sorry, no room here. And if you were with us last Sunday night, we dwelt on that a little bit deeper. But again, just let me say, as we come to Christmas time, let me ask you this morning, have you made room for Jesus this Christmas? Isn't it true that we make room for whatever suits us? We make time for whatever interests we have. We go out of our way to say, well, you know, I want to be at that particular thing, and I'll clear my diary, I'll make sure that I'm there. If there's something that interests, we will make time. And yet I wonder this morning, how we made time, how we made room for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the story so well, boys and girls, that at last, there was the innkeeper who said, well, I have no room here, but you can come in to the stable. Imagine, this was God's only son. He wasn't going to be born in a nice, clean hospital. He wasn't going to have any of the things that babies have today. But he was going to be born in a stable. No one would have expected that. This was God's son. It wasn't Joseph's baby, it was God's baby. He was being born into the stable. God's one and only son had come in to the world. Mary and Joseph, they loved him, they cared for him. But you can see here in the picture, there was no fancy cot. There were no nice blankets. It was just the manger, the straw. Just whatever would come to hand. And yes, this is a nice looking picture. And everything looks lovely and clean. But I'm sure it was far from that in reality. I'm sure it was an awful scene in that manger and in that stable that the Lord Jesus had been born. And yet this little baby was like any other baby that had ever been born. Just like you, this little baby needed to be fed. This little baby needed to be clothed and cared for. But yet this little baby was oh so different. This little baby was so different from me or for you because the Bible reminds us that this little baby was God's son and this little baby would never sin. Mary and Joseph have both been told, you'll call his name Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior. The Lord Jesus had come to be my Savior. He had come to be your Savior. He had come to rescue people. I wonder today, has he rescued you? I wonder today, can you really say this, Jesus is my Savior? Well, let me tell you about a boy called Ben. And Ben was in trouble. He was playing in the house, and he He knew he shouldn't have done it, but he kicked his football and smash! Down went his mum's favourite ornament. He was in big trouble. And mum, of course, heard the ornament smashing. She came into the room and said, "What's happened here?" And immediately Ben said, "It was Bethany. It was Bethany, his two-year-old sister who couldn't speak. It was Bethany. It wasn't me. She just knocked it down, and there it is, it's on the floor." And you see, Ben was in trouble, and he thought, "I'll tell a lie, I'll try and get out of this." And can't we all kind of think those situations through in our minds? And the reality is that we all need rescued. The reality is we all have sin in our lives. You maybe say, "Well, sure, you hardly know me. How do you know of sin?" I know because the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the preacher today. That's every adult here. That's every child here. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glory. And therefore, we all need to be rescued. We need to be rescued from our sin. Well, back in the little stable in Bethlehem, it must have been a little bit strange. Mary and Joseph, they'd been giving this news that this baby was going to be the savior of the world, that he was coming to rescue everyone. And the baby had been born, and I'm sure it almost seemed, well, what's happening now? It seemed like nobody else seemed to know about it. They were there together with this newborn baby. But away on the hillside, something wonderful was happening. Because away in the hillside, God was making another announcement to another group of people. And the angel appeared to these shepherds and spoke to them. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." Imagine going out tonight and an angel speaking to you from the sky. Would you not be afraid? I think you would be. But here was this angel and saying to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid." And here was his message. A Savior has been born in Bethlehem. And he told them, "You'll find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And the whole sky lit up as these angels praised God for this wondrous gift that had been given. The angels that day, they were bringing good news. Boys and girls, teenagers, men and women today, I remind you that this is the greatest news of the whole world. The greatest news is that Jesus had been born, and he had been born to rescue people, to save people from their sins. What an announcement. But all of a sudden, the sky was dark again. The angels were gone. The shepherds were left, maybe scratching their heads, thinking, did that really happen there? Did we hear something? What was it all about? They had heard the announcement. And now with obedient hearts, they were going to go and they were going to find this rescuer. But maybe they were thinking, but how could it be? How could a baby rescue us? How could this all be true? How on earth could a baby change our lives? And that day they didn't realize the full impact of that announcement. They didn't realize that this little baby would grow up just like anybody else in the world, that he would be the same age that you are today, that he would have to learn to walk, that he'd have to learn to talk, that he would have to learn to run, that he would have to learn to read and write, that he would go through the same things that you go through. And yet through all of life's journey, he never sinned. He was the perfect Son of God. And God's word reminds us that when Jesus was around the age of 33, that he gave his life for us, that he willingly went to the cross, that he allowed his blood to be poured out in the cross so that we could be rescued. He paid the price for my sin, for your sin. And today at this Christmas time, if he hasn't already done so, he wants to rescue you He wants to save you from the punishment of your sin. Doesn't mean that if you trust in Jesus today, you will never ever sin again. We all sin. We all fall short of God's standards. But the wonderful thing is that our punishment can be paid, that just like in the school when there's all the work on the board and then the teacher takes it all away and rubbed away, so all of our sins can be made clean before God today. The past, the present, amazingly even the future sins, they're dealt with. But we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you today, and I want to remind you today, you hear this in Sunday school. You hear it in the BB and the GB as adults or people here who have heard it for years. But I want to remind you today that Jesus, and only Jesus, is the one who can rescue you. I can't rescue you. I'm the minister here, but I can't rescue you. Your elder can't rescue you. Coming to church, it won't rescue you. Giving your offering on the plate, it won't rescue you. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can never be good enough to get into heaven. You need the Lord Jesus. Have you got him? Have you got him? Have you been rescued? Do you know this Savior in a personal way this Christmas? Or is it just a story? Oh, that you would allow him to change your life. The shepherds that day, well, they decided, let's go. Let's go and find this baby. Let's go and search for this baby. They had heard all about it, and they decided they would go and that they would try and find Jesus. And maybe there's even one person here today. And you have that desire in your heart that you want to find Jesus. You've heard it all, but the time has come where you think, well, I need to do something about it. I want to find Jesus this Christmas. The scriptures remind us that we'll find him when we search for him. And again, I say to you, if I can be of any help to sit down and to show you from the scriptures how you can know Jesus in a personal way, then that would be my great joy and pleasure this Christmas time. They searched and they found. They found the Lord Jesus. They had been given a clue. You'll find him wrapped in cloth, lying in the manger. And as they went into that little stable, they probably knelt down. They had searched around. They must have peeked in and thought, this is where we're meant to be. This is what God has told us to find. And as they knelt down, they realized they had found the Savior. Oh, please, this Christmas, please don't miss out on the greatest gift of all. Don't just be willing to accept presents from friends and family. Don't be saying, well, thank you. And yet here today is God's greatest gift of all. This is a Savior for you. A Savior for you. Will you receive this Savior? Will you be rescued? Will you have the greatest Christmas of all because Christ is living in your heart and in your life? Or will you say no to the greatest gift that you could ever experience? As the shepherds left that day, their lives had been changed. They had searched, they had found this Savior. They were filled with joy. And as they met others along the way, they shared that great news that God has sent the Savior. We have seen him with our own eyes. And I want to say to every Christian today, I want to say to everyone who would say, well, I know the Lord in a personal way. Well, this is our opportunity at this Christmas time to share this message with others. To tell others about Jesus. Yes, it's good and right that we celebrate, but let's never forget the reason for Christmas, that it's all about Jesus. And let's take time to share the joy of Jesus. The news spread, and many heard about this wonderful Savior who had been born, this wonderful Savior who ultimately was going to give his life. And as I conclude this morning, so I say once again, you have heard, but will you be rescued from your sin? Romans 10 and verse 13 brings a great promise to us. It says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever means you, whether you're a young person, whether you're an older person, doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What a mighty promise from God's word. Joseph had been told, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What about you today? What about you? Will you be saved from your sins? Will you be rescued by the only one that can rescue you? Will you this Christmas know Jesus in that personal way? That's our prayer for you. That you'll not just know a story, but you would know the Savior this Christmas time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for everyone who has taken part today. And thank you for this message that we have to share at Christmas time. We pray that that message would be written large in all of our hearts for those who still don't know you in a personal way, that even today they would know the Christ of Christmas, that they would know that they've been rescued, that they would know that they've been forgiven of their sins. Lord, we pray for those who do know you, that this Christmas time we'd be bold to share that message with others, and that again our lives would speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all of these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our concluding carol this morning, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. And as we prepare to sing that, then let me say to one and all a very happy Christmas. Of course, I can only go to one door. I'm going to go to the side door here this morning. So if I'm not speaking to you this morning, a very happy, blessed Christmas. May you know the joy of the Lord this Christmas season. Let's stand together as we worship God. Let me remind you of all the information you need to pick up in the church hall if you haven't already done so. Let me also encourage you not to take anyone else's unless you speak to someone there. Let's conclude with prayer. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and then forevermore. Amen.